I chose a song that that just brings so much joy, and as we go through the day, I want you guys to remember two different things as we go through this day, as we sing today. One of the things you got to remember is that we're not singing for each other, we're singing for God. We're singing for our Father. We're singing to our Father. And the songs that we sing lift us up, but it also lifts our fathers up, our Father up. And the best example I can give you is my daughter. When she is in her room singing, she's still finding her voice at times, but there are days where I just go outside her room, and whether or not she's on cue, on pitch, on whatever, I just love to listen to my little girl sing. And that's the way our Father here feels about us. There are days where I just sit outside her room and just listen to her sing. So that's what he's doing right now. He's just going to sit and listen to you sing. So whether you feel like you sing well or whether you don't sing well, just kind of feel that. I want you to sing today like you're in your car all by yourself. So, and we're all Taylor Swift today. So if you would, please stand. The song, there's so much emotion, there's so much joy in this song, and the time we find ourselves today, we just need a little bit of happiness and a little bit of joy. If the sky's above you.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service this morning. I look out and there's a lot of you out there. And praise God for that. And I think we're going to have a wonderful worship just with the singing that I'm hearing here. Several announcements. And a big one, I'm going to let that announcement be made by my friend here, and then I've got a few other things to note.
It is great to see everybody here today, all together at one service. I don't know if y'all know, but it took Neil a lot of convincing. He was hanging out with the kids at Sunquest, and they told him about half days at school. And Neil said, I need to do that here at church. And that's why we're all here together. So that's why Neil's over here. I'm just kidding, Neil. Neil doesn't even know what a full day of work is. But this is not a Neil Farr roast, but we will have roasted pork at our Christmas party. So if you turn to the back two pages, they allowed us to put an announcement in there. We are going to have, I'm going to cook pork. I assure you all the pork is farm-raised. Me and my buddies will make sure we go pick it up properly. We've had a few parties out at our house, those that have come. We have ample space, ample parking. We do not have to worry about there being too many people there. We will provide the place. We will provide the meat. Everybody else is a la carte. You got to bring what you want to eat. It is a country Christmas, so come dressed to impress. It is an outside event. I want to stress that. It is an outside event. There's some complications. I guess some people want to talk about the driving. We can try to put together some carpooling if you guys want to do that. We're going to have a hayride. There'll be music. We'll have stuff for the kids. Kids can go play, do what they want to do. But mark your calendars. Make sure you guys come. There's going to be more announcements to come about it. But since we were all together, I figured I'd take the opportunity to make sure we all know about it. So I guess we'll keep on going.
Thank you for sharing a part of your world with us. And I can only imagine how full a person could get out there by eating all that food. But we're thankful for that opportunity. There's several announcements. I'm not going to read them, about our youth program. Classes that are going to start on Sunday and Wednesday, activities that are in the mix of things. Look at that, and you can get the dates and things. You see, we still have a few Magi boxes, and so please help yourself. List is there of what you need to put in the boxes, right? And if you don't like to shop, and you know who you are, you can turn in a check and make a little notation that it's for the Magi boxes. And we have people that are shoppers that will take that money. They'll go out there and they'll get stuff to put in the boxes. So some of us like to do the money and forget the shopping. So we have that opportunity for you folks. And please take advantage of that if you want to and need to. And we'll count on you helping us in whatever way you can. With that, we are going to continue our worship, but first, it's time for children's church. So you little children, you come on down.
Come on down, kids. Good morning, boys and girls. man alive, there is a lot of you people. Where did you come from? Y'all are going to go back there and you're going to have so much fun together. And you're going to be with that man over there in the white beard, otherwise known as temporary Santa Claus. So you're going to go over there and you're going to have a good time. And you're going to be reviewing what you've been learning for the last quarter about Nehemiah and Daniel. So you guys go. Have fun, but before you go, you got to remember, God loves you and so do I. Go have fun. Aren't you glad you're not doing children's church today? What a great crowd. So much. Thank you so much for being here. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we want to invite you back at every opportunity. This is going to be a different kind of service. I am only working a quarter of the day, Mike, because I'm not even going to be preaching that much. I'm going to be interjecting some thoughts. My first thought is, though, thank you so much for being here. If you're watching online, I hope you enjoy it. When we come together like this, there is a sense of communitas. And that's a Latin word in which we get the word community from. And it's a shared experience. I've had it working with mission work. I've had it with going on trips with people. I've had it with our teens when we go off to Sunquest. But communitas is more than just being at an event together. It's a shared experience. It's more than just knowing someone's name. It's relating to them in a different way. Our purpose behind this service today is to praise God, and in praising God, our fellowship will be made complete with one another. Jason?
Good morning, family. I wasn't familiar with this song when I first came to this church, but one Wednesday night, singing night, song service, someone requested it. Jan led it, I heard it, fell in love with it, and I just love the way that we sing it. And so let's sing together about what's most important to God. Love one another.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is going to be from the 63rd chapter of Psalms, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 8, followed by a prayer to God. Psalm 63, verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. And let us pray to our God at this time. Dear God, we thank and reflect on the beautiful, inspired psalm that you have preserved for us, and that even though this psalm was written thousands of years ago, what better words can we think of to describe our predicament, and what better words can we think of to think about how much that we need you? God, I don't think it's a coincidence that so many of the songs that we sing here in this congregation are directly from your inspired psalms. And so, God, one thing that the elders asked me to do was to do kind of like we practiced a few months back, where we go through the psalm and we pray the word to you. And God, I hope that by doing this, we can really take the words into heart, and it can mean a lot to us. Because God, we really do see you as our God. I see you as my God. And I hope that I can be more and more like the psalmist every day, to not just seek you, but to earnestly seek you, to thirst for you, for our whole being to long for you. Because just like the psalmist says here, it really can sometimes feel like that this country and this world really is thirsting, because the one thing that a lot of people don't have is a relationship with you. And please help me to do my part, God, on doing better at introducing you to other people and to be your body here on this earth. And also, like the psalmist says, God, we have seen you in the sanctuary. We may not have seen you physically yet, although we are very much all looking forward to that day, but we have seen you in the eyes of our fellow Christians. We've seen your handiwork in the world. And of course, we can imagine, maybe not even to the fullest extent because of how awesome you are, but we have your word. And through the word, we can see the heart that you have for us. And what better personification was that than years after the psalm was written, when we got to read about the life of your son Jesus and see what living a God-fearing life was all about. Your love is better than our lives. And our lips, through our singing and through our prayer, glorify you. I want to make this pledge to you right now, God, that I will praise you as long as I live. And I know that I made that pledge a long time ago when I got baptized, and although no one here does like the best that they could do at that, it is also my prayer that all of the Christians around the world, no matter what hardships they're going through, that they don't lose faith, that they too will praise you as long as they live as well. And the psalmist did talk about on his bed he remembered you. And I think that's a great way for us to end our day. But, you know, I started thinking about it, and this morning, God, where was I when I woke up, but in my bed as well? So to begin the day and to end the day praising and thinking about you, and for us to continue all the day long, I hope that you help me to mature, as you've already helped me out a lot so far, but to continue to help me out and everyone else here in praising and thinking about you and making that the goal of our entire day and our entire lives. And in Jesus' name, amen.
When we praise God, we have fellowship with Him. You see, praise is the pathway into God's presence. I just got back from visiting my friend Bill in Puerto Rico, and while we were down there, we were discussing this service. And I told him, I'm looking forward to this service because I don't have to remember a whole lot like I do when I'm preaching. But in particular, I told him I was looking forward to this because sometimes when we sing together, I feel God's presence. And in feeling God's presence, sometimes it becomes such an overwhelming emotional response that I can't speak. And so I have to pull myself back from that moment in order to be ready to get up and speak. And you say, well, Neil, that's just something that happens to you. That doesn't happen to everybody. I think it does when you're in the right frame of mind and you're in the right place. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, the trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good. His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple.
Good morning, church. I wear this red coat because I grew up in the Lads to Leaders program back home in Orlando. And Lads to Leaders, they train you from a little kid to lead singing, to lead speeches, so that one day you can be the future leaders of the church. I was honored to wear this red coat, and I'm honored to wear it before you today. I chose this song because the man who mentored me in song leading sang this many times when he worshiped. And he's still alive, he still sings this, but he sings it with such power and such grace. And last time I led it before you, you matched that. So I wanted to lead that today. I ask that you stand while we sing the song.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tends
So this song takes me back almost 40 years now. So to summer camp in Texas, you know, when I was about 9 years old. And I heard this song, all of us kids were singing around the campfire, and it brought chills to me. I'll never forget hearing that last part sung by the girls. It just made me fall in love with this song, and that's why it's my favorite. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, come
Good morning, North Tampa Church of Christ. What a beautiful day. It's apparent that this is a day to remember. We do simple things week in and week out at this church, but just because something is simple, it doesn't mean that it can't be profound. When we take communion, it's a very simple thing that we do. We have this cup, and it is a piece of bread, and in this cup there's juice. But within this small cup lies something very powerful. Everyone should have a cup. If not, please raise your hands and we can have someone bring one to you. But what we'll do, though, we'll pray over the bread. Once we pray over the bread, everyone will be given an opportunity to take a few moments just to remember what this bread represents. Let us bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, giving you the honor, the glory, and the praise, we thank you, dear Jesus, for this privilege. We thank you for this privilege, Father, for taking of this bread, Father, that represents your body that you gave for us on the cross. Father, let us take this with us all throughout our week, Father. Let us remember it continually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to drink, let us look upon this cup and consider its size. Let us consider the weight and the power and its symbolic contents. As we look to this cup and consider its size, weight, and power, what do we compare it to? Let's look to our forefathers and consider the size and weight of their sacrifices. In Exodus 29, 38, 39, it reads, "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs a year old, by day regularly. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight." There can be up to 383 days a year in the Hebrew calendar, but common years usually have about 354 days. That's two lambs a day for 354 days a year. Approximately 708 lambs a year. In Exodus 12:3, the children of Israel were instructed to provide one lamb per household for Passover. Some scholars estimate that on some Passovers, there were over 250,000 lambs sacrificed every year. It was reported that the priests would be up to their knees in blood during these sacrifices. Over 1,300 years passed between Moses and Jesus. That's over 920,000 lambs for daily sacrifices, and over 300 million lambs during that time, not including bulls, rams, goats, or birds, and not including the blood offerings made by pagans. This number does not include the burnt sin or guilt offerings. All of this blood, all of this death, was never meant to reconcile us to God. 1 Peter 1, 18, 19. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." For the answer we see in John 1, 29. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.'" One man, one God, one lamb did what no great multitude of animals could do. His blood did what an ocean of blood could never do. The blood of Jesus Christ saved us all. Let us drink. As we look at these Magi boxes, we're reminded what we are called to do with our offerings. The Lord Jesus provides us with great abundance. And we look at these boxes and we see an underprivileged child who needs things. And through our abundance, we should give. We have a multitude of stations all throughout the church that we're allowed to give. We're also given the ability to give through the text to give app we can find on the bulletin. Let us bow and give honor to God for our giving. Dear Lord, we thank you, Father, for the abundance of our wealth, Father. Let us use these, Father, these resources, Father, to bless those in need, Father. Be with us as we go out into the world and look for opportunities to enrich others, both spiritually and financially. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When we were first asked to pick songs, to select songs, we were asked to pick our favorites. And then also to prepare a few words as to why this is our favorite. This song has always been very special to me, but its specialness grew when I was attending a Tuesday night gospel meeting, one of my favorite preachers named Keith Parker was preaching at a nearby congregation. Keith was the preacher of the Hendersonville Church when Kathy and I first started going there. Tremendous word of God. I loved his sermons because he would typically have each point in his sermon begin with the same letter, you know. And he just preached the pure and simple gospel. Keith and his wife, Sandra, had three children, two daughters and a son. Son was the oldest. Son's name was Pete, is Pete. If you ever met Pete Parker, you'd remember it. When Pete was a very young child, some things went wrong with some inoculations or whatever, and it left him wheelchair-bound for the now nearly 50 years that he's been alive. Almost completely nonverbal, almost. His motions very restricted. But Pete has the ability to preach some pretty significant sermons. And he's not shy to speak out. At times when Keith would be preaching and he would say, "And I'm going to end soon," Pete from his wheelchair in the aisle would holler out, "Good!" Or if Keith would ask a question like, "Should we just throw out this passage of Scripture?" Pete would yell out, "No!" At that gospel meeting, Keith was talking about heaven. And he said, "Do you want to go to heaven?" And Pete said, "Yes!" And Keith stopped preaching. And he looked at his son, and he said, "Why do you want to go to heaven, Pete?" Pete patted the arm of his wheelchair, and he said, "No more wheelchairs." I'm looking forward to a home where there's not all this mess we've made of this world. No tears, no sorrows, no sadness, no darkness, no wheelchairs. "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be left in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door,
Thank you, Jan. Wow, what a tremendous day. I want to talk to you about heaven. We just got through singing, "This World Is Not My Home." I have looked into and I have read, and I still don't know what heaven's going to be like. I wish I did, but I have a feeling that if I knew what heaven was going to be like, I wouldn't want to be here. Because heaven has got to be so much greater than the greatness of this earth, where there's no more sorrow and there's no more tears. When I was a kid, though, I kind of feared heaven because I thought, well, I don't want to go to hell because that's going to be really hot. But I'm not sure I really want to go to heaven because I don't want to sit around on a cloud with little wings and just sing all the time. But as I have matured, I've realized that there is going to be praise in heaven. And what it's going to be like, I think it's going to be a little bit like what we did today. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, John gives us a taste of heaven when he says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.'" Today, we've had a taste of heaven.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
You know the deal.
Sorry.
Okay. I think that's about right. Maybe. You know, I'm still recovering from Jason singing "Jesus is Lord." I'm still recovering. When he said that, "He still loves me the sinner," I broke down in tears because I know what I've been through in my life. None of us, we all deserve death, and Jesus came to keep us from that. An eternal death is what I'm referring to. Oh, man. So the best thing I can do to explain to you how important the song "How Great Thou Art" is to first say that we have a personal, fatherly relationship with the creator of the entire universe. You've got powerful friends on this planet that can help you get a job, that can help you do this, help you do that. God is orchestrating all of that. He is controlling all of that. The fact that I was on I-75 North and an 18-wheeler just didn't decide to come over and crush me was because God allowed me to make that journey. It's the only reason I'm here. So, will you bow with me and pray so we can put this into perspective? Father, as we humbly approach your throne, we must remember your omnipotence, which is all-powerful, your omniscience, all-knowing, and your omnipresence, Father. You are everywhere at all times. Father, we pray that your will is done forever and ever, because our will is not always in our best interest, even when we don't know it, Father. Lord, we know that you love us. It's evidenced every day. It's evidenced this morning. It's evidenced by how safely the majority of us made it through this last hurricane, Father. Lord, we know that bad things do happen. You allow bad things to happen, Father. It's for your will and your reasons, Father. Our brains are not developed enough to understand your will, Father. But please let it be done, because in my life personally, I know that everything has turned out all good due to you, Father. Lord, we love you. We thank you. These things we ask in Christ's holy and divine name. Amen.
Amen.
If you will sing all verses with me of "How Great Thou Art."
Oh, Lord, my God.
Have you been encouraged? This has been an awesome service. I appreciate so much the song leaders. The message today is the men that have been leading singing. The message today has been the songs that we have been singing. And the message today doesn't come from me, but comes from the hearts of the men that led these songs and the words that are in the songs. I hope you have been encouraged. We sing a song of encouragement every Sunday. And that song of encouragement is for us to regroup and to leave here changed. And I hope that you have left here changed, with more power, with more courage, with more fire towards God and your fellow man. In Psalms chapter 68, verse 35, it says, "You are awesome, O God. In your sanctuary, the God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." One of the things that you probably noticed this morning is that I don't sound like my normal self. I got some kind of head thing going on here. And so I won't be able to greet you on the way out like I normally do because, well, I just don't want to get any more of your germs on me. But I hope you have been encouraged, and I hope on your way out you will encourage each other. We're going to sing this song now, and as we sing this song, we hope it encourages you to be a part of God's kingdom, to repent if you need to repent, and to love more deeply.
Good morning. We're going to continue your tall portion of the singing service. So... Normally, when I come up here, I got to adjust, but I appreciate you, Moses. I got to try to get a couple jokes out because, as they said, we got to say why the song is meaningful to us. And I try, when I talk about this woman, I usually get a little bit emotional, so I'm trying to make sure I keep it tempered as much as I can. So this song, "Someday," it reminds me so much of my grandmother. Growing up in church, she used to always make sure I was at Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, choir rehearsal. She made sure I was an usher and all that other good stuff as it came growing and developing. And when I turned like 15, 16 and started driving myself, instead of having my aunt come pick up for church, she used to always make sure that I came got her because she knew that I was starting to, "Oh, I'm playing basketball. I can't go to church today. I got basketball practice. I got this." So she was like, "Nah, Martell, you need to come pick me up so we can go to Sunday school. I'm going to be late. You don't make me late." So I had to make sure she wasn't late. And I was like, "Grandma," I said, you can pick any of your daughters, your sons to come get you. Why you got me coming to pick you up so we can go to church?" And she said, "I want to make sure that you get to heaven someday and meet me there." She said, "I know how much you love your grandpa." She said, "I know how much you love me." And she said, "I want to make sure that everybody else, they usually have somebody that's always looking out for them." She said, "So it's my job to look out for you." And in doing so, she said, "So I want to make sure that you don't have to try to get ready. I'm going to make sure you always stay ready." She said, "So if I'm at church," she said, even if I don't feel well, she said, "I'm going to make sure that you come pick me up. And then I'll tell you when you get here that I'm not feeling well, but you still going to go for me." So that someday, I want to make sure that I got myself ready so I can meet them there someday. But then the second part of the meeting is I have twin daughters. You've probably seen them running around and trying to match me or trying to match their mom every Sunday. But one of them, she's a little soprano. And she'll just walk around the house and she said, "Dad, let's sing a song." And when she sings the soprano part of the "Someday," she adds a little bit of other emphasis that she heard from other churches to the soprano. So as you know, I do try to do my soprano. And y'all can thank Sean for that, actually, because when I first said that I was going to sing this song, we were out here in the hallway right here. I said, "Do we sing that?" He said, "Oh, I love that song." And he hit the soprano himself. He said, "Are you going to do it?" I was like, "You know what? Challenge accepted." So every time I miss a note on the soprano, y'all can thank Sean for that. but So we're going to sing Someday, and because it is a very powerful song, and I know we all want to get to heaven, and we're at the end of the service, we only got one more song after me, if we could all please stand and follow me as we lead this, because the page is going to tell us to sing something one time, but I will bring in every part, and we're going to do everything twice just to make sure that we can get that full power of the song and the full magnitude of it. So please, please follow me. And again, if I miss a note, don't you stop singing. You keep going, because we're giving reverence to God, not to what I sound like. All right. Sopranos, we start the song out.
Someday.
More volume, because I'm sicker than Neil, believe it or not. I've been coughing for 2 weeks, but I brought a mask today and my Hall's cough drops, and I'm here to do my best. I do feel a little dizzier than normal. I'm supposed to tell you why this is my favorite song to lead, but this is not my favorite song to lead. I am the defiant one. Amen. I told Paula the next time I lead songs that I would lead this song. And though I sometimes fail, I always try to keep my word. But I think that this is your favorite song for me to lead. The only one we should truly clap for is God. And shout hallelujah, praise Jehovah. I think the popularity from this song comes from the fact that the lyrics to some songs are written to directly praise God, while other songs are written to uplift one another and encourage each other. And this song seems to do both. And if you're like me, you're overwhelmed with feelings when we sing how great Jesus is to him and how we love him when he is in our midst. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "When two or three gather in my name, I am there." Well, there are a lot of us here today, and he is here. So, is he behind me? Is he above us? Is he beside you? Or is he all around us? I don't know. What I do know is Jesus never goes back on his word. Furthermore, no deceit was ever found in his mouth. He is here. I mentioned this fact to someone recently, and he said, "But isn't Jesus now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven?" And I said, "Yes, he is. But Jesus Christ is the all-powerful Son of the living God and capable of being in multiple places at the same time. Isn't he a wonderful, merciful Savior?" Church, is he a wonderful, merciful Savior? Is he the master of the sea? Yes. Is he the great I am? Yes. Then let's lift our voices and sing to the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. Repeat after me. Lord, the people praise you.
Lord, the people praise you.
Lift you up and praise you.
Lift you up and praise you.
Place
the body above you.
Place the body above you.
Place the body above you.
Place the body above you.
Place the body above you.
Lord, the people love you.
Lord, the people love you.
Lift you up and praise you.
Sorry, Will.
That's all right. Thanks, sir. All right. Now let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to gather with the church and to worship you. And Father, how uplifting this service was. We pray for the churches that aren't meeting as they normally do this morning because of the hurricane. We pray for all of those that were impacted and individuals that went out to help the ones in need. And I pray that you watch over them in the days ahead, Father, as they rebuild what they lost. And Father, I pray that you continue to watch over each and every one of us. Father, I especially pray this morning that you encourage or that you strengthen, you give wisdom to our leadership and you provide guidance to them. Father, we're so thankful for the ones who have served in the past, the ones that currently serve, and the ones that will lead this church in the future, Father. And I pray that we as a congregation encourage these men and their wives as they serve, and what an example that they have been to all of us, Father, and we are so thankful for each and every one of them. Father, I pray that we're all doing our best to be the example that you want us to be, Father, that we are the light to the world, salt of the earth, that we are in the scriptures daily, that we're drawing closer to you each and every day, and that we're doing what you've asked of us, Father. I pray that you continue to guide us and that you forgive us when we fail you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.